Most of us are familiar with joining different things together, different surfaces perhaps, different substances. We can purchase and use a variety of different glues, epoxies, PVAs, various types of adhesive. Our topic this afternoon is spiritual union or spiritual joining. We can't see the spiritual with these eyes. Our focus on the Sacrament of the Lord's Supper this afternoon is on especially Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 28 and that answer 76, specifically these words, through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. So we want to explore and understand how we are united more and more closely through this means of grace of Lord's Supper. Our text is from John chapter 6, verses 53 to 56 in particular, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." So three different unions or joinings this afternoon. Firstly, the union of the physical with the spiritual. Then the union of Christ with the Christian. And finally, the union of the Christian with the church. So let's consider firstly the union of the physical with the spiritual. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And we read of how the Jews grumbled against Jesus because he'd identified himself with that manna that came down from heaven that God gave to his covenant people in the wilderness that we read about in Exodus chapter 16. When Jesus says that he is the heavenly bread, he's not joining together two physical entities, the white substance which covered the ground in the wilderness like fine frost or dew on the ground, which the house of Israel called manna, and which was like white coriander seed, tasting like wafers and honey. He's not joining that manna in the wilderness with his own physical flesh and blood. However, these two very different substances are linked, are joined, are in a sense united spiritually. Just as the manna came down from heaven as a gift from God to his covenant people day by day to sustain them, so Christ Jesus came down from heaven, a gift from God to his covenant people to sustain them forever so that we would not die. And so there is a spiritual connection here. When Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in yourselves," he's not asking the people there or us today to physically consume his body. And neither is he directly referring to the Lord's Supper, which he had not as yet instituted at that stage in his ministry. But he's using a metaphor, a figure of speech. We're familiar with these in many areas, both in Scripture and in life. A mighty fortress is our God. Doesn't describe God as being a physical building, but rather uses that imagery to convey the truth of God's strength and solidarity. The wheels of justice turn slowly. Well, there isn't actually a wheel within the court system. It's a phrase, it's a metaphor. The typical teenage boy's room is a disaster area. It's a metaphor, generally. I was lost in a sea of nameless faces. Again, a metaphor. Jesus uses a metaphor to link, to join the spiritual reality of believing in him to consuming his physical body. He is graphically speaking of the reality about which he speaks plainly in verse 40. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." And so we see this joining together of the physical and the spiritual in this language that Jesus uses. And Jesus speaks in a very similar way as he institutes Lord's Supper. Breaking the bread, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." giving the cup, he says, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant. Not an actual consuming of the body and blood of Christ, as some, for example, the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church would teach and believe. Neither a symbolic gesture, merely a symbolic gesture of remembrance, but an actual receiving of divine grace to strengthen faith. This is termed a sacramental union, whereby the Holy Spirit communicates divine grace which strengthens faith in the believer. And so the physical is united and joined with the spiritual in and through the sacrament. This bond, the sacramental union, is not visible to us. But by faith we believe. It occurs because Christ has said in the metaphor that the bread of the Lord's Supper is his body and the wine is his blood. To have spiritual life in Christ, we must be joined to him. Which brings us to our second point, the union of Christ with the Christian. So let me ask you what you had for lunch. I had sourdough bread with meat and salad, and it was very tasty. And you probably heard that expression, you are what you eat. It's not completely true, but it's partly true. When you and I eat physical food, that food does become part of us. It's assimilated into the cellular structures within our bodies. When physical food is being incorporated into our physical body, we can't see the gradual internal process, but we know for certain that it occurs. Now, don't try this at home, but if you stop eating for a few weeks, you'll realize that this is exactly how it works. Physical food is incorporated into our bodies. And so it is when we come to Christ in faith. We receive him spiritually into ourselves. The Apostle Paul describes it this way to the Galatians. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. We're not saved until we have been made one with Christ through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the presence of Christ within the believer who gives spiritual life. The believer is united to Christ by faith. And the Lord Jesus speaks of this joining of himself to the individual Christian when he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And so what we see is there is a two-way bond between Christ and the believer. We abide in him, and he abides in us. And this joining between Christ and the Christian is sometimes called the mystical union by theologians. John Calvin said, and I quote, we must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value to us. All that Christ possesses is nothing to us until we grow into one body with him. And so we could say accurately that this mystical union, this bond between Christ and the believer is essential for salvation. It is an eternal bond from everlasting to everlasting. And the root of this bond goes all the way back to sovereign election, where before the foundations of the world, God chooses who will be his people. And so in Heidelberg Catechism answer 76, the question asks what it means to, quote, eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink his poured out blood. The answer is given, it means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more, and this is our focus here. Through the Holy Spirit, who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. There is a closer joining between Christ and the believer in and through partaking of the Lord's Supper. As Christ dwells by the Holy Spirit within us, we become more like him. We begin to have his mind, we think his thoughts, our lives are directed more according to his will. We come to have more and more a godly nature, a Christ-like nature, a holy nature. We begin to behave more like him in our lives. This whole process, of course, is what we call, what the scriptures refer to as sanctification. And so this mystical faith union between Christ and the believer is strengthened through the sacrament. Greater spiritual vitality is gained through this sacramental union. As the Holy Spirit works in the heart of the believer, the bond becomes stronger, becomes tighter. And this points to the importance of attending Lord's Supper for your own spiritual life and benefit. And so I'd want to encourage you this afternoon to plan to be here when we celebrate Lord's Supper as a congregation, if you can. Work out your calendar and your schedule, if possible, to be here when we celebrate together. It also points to the importance of preparing beforehand, going to bed earlier the night before, preparing ourselves to come to the sacrament. It points to the importance of desiring to eat the supper together for the spiritual benefit that comes in and through it. It also points to the bond between the individual Christian, between you and me, and the local church, between us as a congregation. And that's our third point this afternoon, the union of the Christian and the church. Let's go back to the wilderness, to the wanderings in the 40-year period in the wilderness. The manna came down from heaven for 40 years, 6 days a week without fail, until the sons of Israel came to the border of the promised land. Important to notice, and it's obvious, but let's say it, the manna came only to Israel. It was God's covenant provision exclusively for his chosen covenant community. And so Christ is the bread of God who gives life to the world, not to every single person, but to all kinds of people who will eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood in faith. All who come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith are joined to him. Jesus describes that in the imagery, the picture of the vine and the branches in John 15. So all in Christ are joined together to one another as part of his body, the church. Now you likely know that the New Testament describes the church both as a universal body of believers. For example, in Mark 16, where Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it," speaking of the universal church. And then also, for example, in Ephesians 5, where we read that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, himself being the savior of the body, referring to the church universal. We find that language in the New Testament, but we also find language which refers to the church as a local body of believers. For example, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to the churches of Galatia, to Apphia our sister and Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Lord's Supper is celebrated as a local church sacrament. Different churches celebrate Lord's Supper on different days. When we sit together, we are united, joined together spiritually more closely as a local body of believers. And the Apostle Paul writes to the local church in Corinth about this, and he asks these questions. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing, a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. And so the union between the individual believer and the local church is reflected in the importance of having unity around the Lord's Supper table. The union between the believer and the local church is reflected in the importance of making sure that we resolve and seek to resolve interpersonal difficulties that may have occurred between us prior to coming to the table. It also points to the importance of attending Lord's Supper for the benefit of the spiritual life of the congregation as a whole. And so again, I want to say this afternoon, try not to be away from the fellowship of believers when we celebrate Lord's Supper, not only for your own spiritual benefit and blessing, but for the benefit and blessing of others as we join together through the union of being part of the local body of Christ. There is both an individual and a collective or corporate aspect to this sacrament. And so the sacrament of Lord's Supper strengthens the bond between the believer and the local body of believers to which he or she belongs. So in summary, the sacrament of Lord's Supper we see in the sacrament of Lord's Supper, we see three different unions present. The union between the physical and the spiritual, the physical elements and the spiritual realities that they point to and confirm. We see the union between Christ and his church, and we see the union between the Christian, the individual Christian, and the local church. So may the Lord grant you and me, us, a deeper understanding of the significance and importance of this union that we have as believers with Christ. A union that is further strengthened through this means of grace, through the Lord's Supper. Not a physical bond with physical glue, but a spiritual bond worked in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.